The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then he said, "A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was growing up many decades ago, as many of you know, there were the blue laws. Stores were closed on Sunday. We had 4 TV stations. We only had a black and white TV. We had always a big dinner on Sunday, and usually after dinner we would go to visit relatives. And I remember many times we would go to my maternal grandparents for a visit, and my grandmother was a pushover for anything I wanted. I would say to my mom, I was a little kid, you know, I'd love some Kool-Aid. Can I ask Grandma? No, don't bother her. Then I'd go to my grandmother and say, Grandma, can I have some Kool-Aid? And of course, she got right up and made Kool-Aid. She was a real pushover for whatever I asked for. In the same way, God is a pushover when it comes to being merciful. He's a pushover. He wants to be merciful. He wants us to give us his mercy. He wants us to know his love, his desire for reconciliation. And no matter what we do, it doesn't matter what we do, he is always hoping that we will turn back to him so that he can shower upon us his mercy. And the readings today are all about the mercy of God. We have the first reading where the Israelites turn away from God, turn back to a pagan god, a god made of gold, and worship him. And God says to Moses, I'm going to destroy the people and we'll start over. But Moses says, no, Lord, please spare them and let us go on with the journey. So God's merciful. He shows his mercy, despite the fact that the people who had just seen all his great wonders in the desert are turning against him already. And Paul, I mean, what greater sinner was there in the Old Testament? And he admits to it. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the church. And as you know, he stood and witnessed the stoning of Stephen. So he was all for getting rid of Christians. And yet, God was not just merciful to him, but gave him a great position in the church. He made him an apostle. He gave him this call to go forth and proclaim the gospel. So again, the mercy of God is everywhere. And again, we see it in the gospel readings, the good shepherd, who even though it's one sheep that really doesn't mean a lot, at least to the bigger picture, God wants that person to come back. He wants that sheep to be found, and he goes to find that lost sheep and says, come back to the fold. That's the mercy of God. And again, we have the story of the prodigal son, which we all know. We've heard many, many times. And we know that the father is like God. He is always ready. He's watching for his son to come back. He just doesn't hope that he'll come back, but he expects it. He truly has a living hope and is watching for his son to come back. And as soon as he catches sight of him, he runs out and embraces him, even before the son has an opportunity to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. Forgive me. That's the mercy of God. And what's amazing about this story, some theologians say that for a son to demand his inheritance was like saying to his parent, his father, you are dead to me. You are dead to me. And under a strict observance of the Mosaic law, the father could have punished his son, maybe even killed him, because of this insult, which was as bad as it gets. But the father didn't do that. He gave the son his inheritance. He went out and squandered it. And again, the father did not have to welcome him back at all. He could have welcomed him back as a slave or a servant, and that's what the son was hoping for, so he'd at least have his belly full. But no, the father welcomes him back to his original position as a full-fledged son, a full-fledged child of the family. And so he takes his place, which, you know, we may say, wow, this is really something. Would we do that? Would we be merciful like that? So as Christians, we're called to think about this mercy of God. And I suspect we all have had examples, experiences of receiving the mercy of God. Going to confession, we receive the mercy of God. He wipes away our sins. And it's clear in the Old Testament that when we sin and ask for forgiveness and are forgiven, we are told that God takes that sin and puts it behind his back, which means he's not going to remember it. He's not going to throw it in our faces later on. Say, remember what you did? Yeah, you asked for forgiveness, but you still were a sinner. No, that's the mercy of God. It's not just about, yeah, I forgive you, but rather I ask you to come back as a full-fledged child. That's the mercy of God. We receive that in confession. We receive it in the sacraments. We receive it from other people who, in the name of God, help us to see who we are so that we can turn away from evil and be reconciled to God and to other people. So, are we merciful? I mean, that's the major question we should be going home with. Are we merciful? How big is our mercy? How far does our mercy extend? Do we put limits on our mercy? Do we actively go out to reconcile with others? Do we actively go out to find the lost sheep? That, again, is part of evangelization. There are lost sheep all over the place, but unless we go out to find out who they are and say, God loves you, he is merciful, he wants you to be part of the family, come with us. Join the family of God. Be integrated into this body of Christ and know the goodness of God. So we have work to do if we want to be truly merciful. It's challenging at times. It may be a little bit easier among those we know, but for those people that we don't know, to go out and find them, just as the Good Shepherd does. And God's always following after us wherever we go, whatever we do. He's not staying away waiting for us to come back, but he's actively seeking like a lover seeks his beloved. And that's God. He's our lover. We are the bride. He is the groom. He is always seeking after us, always saying, come to me. Let me embrace you. Let me heal you. Let me take your wounds away. That's God. And so we who are here today, if we dare to call ourselves Christians, we have to work at being merciful ourselves, of talking about how God has been merciful to us and to help reconcile other people to God and to the body of Christ. So we have that power. We have that commission from God to do exactly that. Just like Jesus, just like Paul, like the apostles, the saints throughout the ages, we have been told, go out, proclaim the gospel, which is all about God's mercy, and bring people in to be baptized, to be part of God's holy family. So we've got work to do, obviously, especially if we look in the world today, the evil that's out there. A TV crew is out there wondering about how we think about the sex abuse issue. Well, no matter how we think about it, we have to continue to be Christians who preach the gospel message, who want to heal other people, who want to help bear the wounds of other people, to seek mercy for others and reconciliation. That's our ongoing work, no matter what's going on in the world. So as you go forth today, think about how you have received mercy in your lives, how you have had your sins wiped away, been restored to sonship or daughtership with God. And then think about how you can be merciful. Is there anybody that you know in need of mercy? How can you be a good news bearer, an evangelist to that person? And then hopefully we will support one another in that effort and challenge one another to go even further outside our comfort zone, to actively seek those who don't know the Lord, who don't know hope, who don't know the love of God, who have never been shown mercy. And then we can be the people to show that mercy to them so that they can come to believe in God. So as we continue our Eucharist, as we continue to accept the mercy of God in our lives, let's pray that we will be bearers of that mercy in the world, as God calls us to be bearers of mercy, so that more and more and more people will come to know the love of God and be reconciled to God because of his great mercy.